This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Western Hunting Hub podcast. In this episode, we have Travis Teal from Buckstorm. Buckstorm is a YouTube channel that if you guys started here in South Dakota, is where this is housed, but they do some hunting all over the West. And some great guys, put out some good content, do some good things for youth hunting in the area, and have a good channel put together that seems like just some good, authentic, just some guys out doing some hunting. We chatted about being dads, chatted about turkey hunting, shed hunting, chatted about the draw stuff going on, just the general off-season sort of conversation hunters have. Great chat with Travis. Go check them out on YouTube. Search Buckstorm. They're also on Instagram and Facebook, so check them out and enjoy this listen with Travis. All right, Travis, thanks for jumping in on the call and appreciate your time on this evening. Got your kids to bed and got time to get some of our, I don't want to call it work. It's our thing we like to do. So I don't even know what to call it. My kid asked me what I was doing. I said, I got to go record.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
So chase the passion.
Yeah. So introduce yourself. Tell us about your YouTube channel, what you guys are all about.
Yeah, for sure. My name's Travis Teal, Rapid City, South Dakota. We have a YouTube channel called Buckstorm. Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. But basically our main platform is YouTube, and we film pretty much everything all the way throughout the year. Everything. So all of our hunts, preparation, what we do, what we use, all the things. And we kind of try to keep it a little more simple and less produced than some of the stuff out there, just more real, relatable. So on and so forth. It's myself, Jeremy Meyer, and Austin Yoakum, us three kind of run the Buckstorm platform, if you will. And we release a YouTube video every single week of the entire year, sometimes more than one, but we do try to put one out every week, so it's consistent content and not just one here, one there. And like you said, this is the time of night that usually most of it gets done when the kids are in bed. So.
Yeah, and I had this for later, but here we are recording at 8:47 at night because both of our kids, we both got three-year-olds, except you have 2 3-year-olds. And trying to get some extra stuff done instead of watching TV, because that gets us nowhere. And
exactly.
And I just would much rather be doing something to better myself, better someone else. So that's why I'm here.
Absolutely. I always tell my wife, you just got to sleep faster if you want to get something done. So
I like that. and you just hear so many excuses about not having time to, I mean, not do what we do necessarily, but to get out and hunt. And
right,
that's just an excuse.
And exactly.
And what is it that you do to make that work? I mean, you just told me your wife is a nurse. She's working odd hours. My wife works at the same place, different job, yeah, and works, yep, odd hours. What do you do to make it work?
It's tricky. We are fortunate to have a lot of help, family in the area nearby. So it just takes some planning, less last second things, and a lot more getting creative with the schedule. But we always figure it out. I just can't be like, hey, I'm going to do something these 3 days. I just kind of got to run it by her first, make sure we're all good, get it figured out, and then get it scheduled. But she's awesome. She's a saint. She puts up with me. She likes to hunt a little herself. Doesn't get out as much as she probably wishes she did just because I'm always gone. But she holds down the fort when I'm gone, and we just do what we can to make it work.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, that... We were in Colorado before this, and it was actually really hard. Even though I was there for 8 years, it was hard to just get out and do a real hunt. Even though I'd go on hunts after work, it just was, yep, not like a real hunt. I want to get out and go in the backcountry. I'm gone for 3, 4, 5 days. I did very few of those, and it, yep, just was because, well, of that.
I can relate.
We had no family there, none. So there was no help, no one to watch a kid, no, and just, you know, it just,
absolutely, was tough. Yeah, that makes it tough for sure. So, real tough.
It's nice being closer to family, saying, hey, mom, dad, coming out. I need you to watch the kid, and I'm going hunting for, well, I got my September elk hunt planned with my dad. So we're excited to head back to Colorado, and I don't even know if I'll draw a tag or go buy a tag. It'll just be a,
yeah,
focus on dad. Cause,
yep, absolutely. I can relate to that. It's just all about getting out, and that's the reason I'm into hunting is because of my dad. So anytime you can go on a hunting trip with pops, it's always a good one.
Yeah, we had a good season 2 years ago, and he just got hooked. Just got hooked. Just,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's done his Black Hills rifle elk hunt. He's done his Colorado rifle over the counter hunt and whatnot. But when we started chasing him with a bow, that was something that just triggered a different nerve that really was fun. It was really, yeah, really fun. And just every bull I've had within bow range, I can just still have those imprints burned in my brain.
100%
of those big black legs walking through the pinyon juniper, and that's all you see. Or it's
absolutely big, that's six, what got me hooked.
Yeah, one busting me here or there, or all of them busting me.
Right. You bet.
Yeah. So yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my dad, that's kind of what got me really hooked on elk hunting. When I was 13 years old, my dad drew his archery Black Hills tag, and he pulled me out of school a few days and brought me with as much as he could without getting me expelled, I think. And and just, that was my first like up close look at elk hunting, you know, and ever since that day, I've just been hooked. I mean, there was times when I was probably 15 years old or 14, couldn't even drive yet. And I'd be like, Dad, let's go look for elk. And he'd take me out, and we'd go drive around, look for elk, try to call one in, you know. And it just, it's crazy how just an experience it doesn't matter how old you are, but your first experience like that, if that doesn't get you hooked, then nothing's gonna.
Yeah. Yeah. And I apologize to the listeners. I think I've told this story, but I'm just so proud. Like I told you earlier, took my now 3-year-old last September on a little hunt with my buddy. He was I just left my bow in the truck because I knew it wasn't going to work. He had his little plastic bow, and I had, yeah, he had his binos and all this. I was like, I'll just bring my bugle tube and we'll go there. And we sat on this point, and we had watching these these bulls. We've been trying to pull off a private onto some other private, and we called one over, and I just was kind of sitting there, and his little arm raised up, and he just whispered, "Big bull." It's like, oh my gosh. And I looked over, he wasn't kidding. It was not a big bull, but it was a bull.
And that's awesome.
A little raghorn. And he looked, and I was like, okay, okay. We called one in. Great. And so we had him at 80. And then I was like, well, my buddy's down the hill. So we backed off and kind of hid behind the decoy and kind of snuck back and just kept calling at him. And he snuck over to the other ridge. So now he was right above us. And my buddy was there somewhere. I lost track of him. We didn't have that. He didn't come the way we thought he'd come. So didn't work out, but he talked about that for months and months. And I bet I could still get him going. If I asked him if he remembered the bull coming down the hill, and he just said over and over, bull coming down the hill, bull coming down the hill.
And that's great.
Yeah. So it's that I understand now. And those of you listeners that are dads or moms that have that, totally get it. So if you're 20, 25, you're just probably shutting us off, but it's a pretty rewarding thing. So
that's what it's all about, and that's the only way it's going to keep on going, because you got to get them involved. There's too many kids that sit in front of a TV or video game all the time, and they always have more fun outside. You just got to set that in their brains structure at an early age, so they're not just stuck inside.
Yeah, give them that structure. So
absolutely.
So let's switch gears. How'd the turkey season go? And we got listeners all over the country. So we're in the Black Hills area, prairie all around, kind of a couple of different types of ecosystems around, but majority, I think, the turkey hunting is happening in the Black Hills here, and I know our birds are down in numbers, but how'd your hunt go?
Not bad. We naturally are a little bigger into shed hunting than turkey hunting, but we still do a little bit of turkey hunting. And I can definitely agree with you that usually when people say numbers are down, I'm just like, yeah, they just didn't go enough. This year I can confidently say numbers are down, because I put some miles on the boots, and that's usually my biggest like turkey scouting tool, is when I'm shed hunting. We just stumble into them, you hear them, and then that's where we end up turkey hunting that year. And in 287 miles that I hiked this year shed hunting, I can count on one hand how many gobbles and how many turkeys I actually saw when we were out and about. So that was just kind of a testament to the numbers being down.
I heard
in areas that there's always turkeys. So
yeah, I heard one of the game wardens saying how what we got left are the bird feeder birds, the ones hanging out in the bird feeders in the little towns and little developments and all throughout the hills, and there's not much left. I don't know what.
I can totally agree with that statement. Yeah, because that's about where we found them this year. But I did end up shooting one back in April. We have an annual turkey hunt. We went on like a 3-day camp trip, and the weather was absolutely horrendous. It snowed on us for 3 days, and we were turkey hunting in 4 or 5 inches of snow the whole time. But we just kind of made what we could of it, and they weren't talking. We literally hunted them like mountain lions, cut tracks, follow them until you get into the moment, cluck a few times, and just make it happen. Well, we ended up stumbling into a jack pine thicket where they were just held up underneath these jack pines in the afternoon, and one of them come walking out, just kind of hunkered down, and I had to do it. It was just one of those things, you know. Obviously you'd like to call them in, but it was we just made the most of it, and with the conditions we had, and it was still fun. It was kind of a unique way to hunt turkeys for sure. But
oh yeah, that honestly be a little bit more fun for me, I think.
Yeah,
because I can't sit. I don't sit well. I gotta be moving. And if there's snow, and that we had that, I don't know, my house I had like 14 inches of snow the one time, and then we had another 5 in there somewhere, all within like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was definitely a different way to hunt them, but it was fun, and it ended up being probably the second biggest bird I've ever shot in the Black Hills, so that was kind of wild too. But outside of that, didn't do a ton of turkey hunting guided a couple guys from Louisiana that shot birds on a private piece that we have access to. And that was a pretty cool hunt. First morning, just got too fired up right away and went down quick. And then we chased them around with the stick and string for a couple days and didn't have any luck there. But outside of that, we did a lot more shed hunting this year for sure than turkey hunting. Had the numbers been up, I probably would have hit it a little harder, but
yeah,
just got discouraged and decided to shed hunt a little extra.
Yeah, I'm totally the same. I screwed up a good bow hunt. I had some birds that I was just kind of needing them to go in a certain spot and kept checking on them. And I literally set up and I left and went to the other spot, came back, set up, left, went to another spot, came back. And this time I didn't set up, literally just me sitting with a bow. And of course, that's when I just had to, I don't know, I just was calling nonstop, just going crazy. And they eventually came in all strutting two nice big toms, and there's no way I was drawn. I had nothing. No decoy, no nothing. So
that's the worst when you get caught.
Yeah, and I didn't. I think I could have drawn. I started drawing at 25 yards, and I think I probably should have. I don't even know. I don't think
sometimes you get stuck in a moment, and you're like, you just can't decide what to do because you just don't have a good play. And you're like, you just sit there and watch it happen because you know the second you move, it's game over.
Yeah. And I've heard Rogan and John Dudley and what's his butt with hex suit rave about their hex suit. And it works great on birds and bears and whatever else. It didn't work. I was wearing it. It didn't work. So,
yeah. Turkeys, I've learned, they're just a creature of movement. If you don't move, they're cool. You can put a ground blind in a wide open field with a decoy 10 feet in front of it. Yeah. And they'll come in and they don't care as long as they don't see movement. But if you're sitting out in that field in the wide open and you move, they're gone. So it's like, I always thought it was so funny when you see like a ground blind out in the middle of a field back growing up. I'm like, they're never going to come out there, and they do. Yeah. They don't care. They just don't want to see the movement. It's just a weird deal. It's definitely a fun challenge to try to kill one from the ground with a bow without a blind.
No kidding.
I mean, if you didn't have to draw, it'd be pretty easy, but just having that factor and having to draw back, it definitely adds an extra element to it.
Absolutely. And I would agree with you. I'd rather be shed hunting. So how'd the shed hunt go?
It was a good year for me anyhow. Jeremy definitely had a rough one. If anyone that's watched any of our videos or if anyone checks them out, will understand once they watch them. But I started out, my deer shed season went real bad. And I was telling all my buddies, I'm like, the only way I'm going to salvage this year is if I crush it on the elk sheds. And I ended up finding, let's see, eleven brown elk sheds that I found this year out of 13 were within 1 square mile of each other. I just found the mother lode. I found the pocket.
Oh man. Yeah. Those are the little holes that are the pockets that you're like, you can't help but find them once you get in them. It's just like, oh, there's one right there. And I'm going to walk over here. Oh, brick, there's another one right there.
It was nuts the first day.
Yeah. And then you go to another spot, another day, and it's like you can't find something to save your life.
I know. It's crazy. But that's what keeps a guy going, just the thrill. Not everybody understands it. Not everybody's crazy enough to. I mean, there's plenty of days I go out and hike 15 to 20 miles and don't pick up a thing or pick up one old chalk. But those days like that make it all worth it. And that only reason I stumbled into that spot this year, I've always shed hunted there, but I wasn't really planning on spending a lot of time there this year because I just wasn't seeing the elk in there. Well, they were just a little further in and they weren't moving. And I just never come across them. And once I got in there, I found their little pocket and nobody goes in that deep. And I went out one morning right before bad storm was coming in. I thought it was going to be snowing, but it didn't, so I jammed down there and had about 4 hours till the snowstorm and picked up four browns all within 400 yards of each other, and they were all right sides. Never paired one up that day, so then I had motive to go back.
Yeah, I'm looking at my pile now that I have, and it is like almost double right sides to lefts. Oh, yeah, it is double, within one or two.
That's nuts. I found, let's see, my first six, seven, eight. I found eight rights before I found a left this year. And I didn't pair up a bunch of them, and I spent a ton of time looking for a couple good bulls early that I found, and I just couldn't turn them up. I don't know. And then I found a 1.8 miles apart from each other, and I'm like, well, I guess that explains it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no rhyme or reason for right or left or none of that. Zero reason.
But no, none at all.
Statistically, it doesn't add up. Like, you should be fine in the other one or another side. It just doesn't add up.
It's a weird deal for sure.
Yeah. So there's,
but it was a good year for sure. It was fun.
Huh. Yeah. I found this really goofy one. He's got two main beams, but like good mass at the bottom. Like he was an older bull, not older, but just like an average size bull. And he's got one beam that goes back about 3 foot with a little fork at the end. And then the other beam just kind of goes and has a crab claw at the end that's like 2.5 foot out, and it's got like a normal third in there somewhere.
That's just super cool. I'm all about those freak ones. It's always fun to find one that's unique like that.
Yeah, and it was just laying on this log, propped up. It was last year, so white as can be. And I looked down, it's like, if anybody would have glassed this, they would have seen that. Anybody, because it just white as can be, propped up, tines sticking up. They should have found it. But
that's too funny. That's my favorite, when you get in an area and you stumble across a white shed or something really obvious that you're like, if anyone shed hunted here, that would not be sitting there,
right?
And it just gives you that extra drive to
hit
that area.
And with and there is no shortage of shed hunters these days. It's interesting to see the different styles. We got those people. I posted a picture just the other day of a guy I met that he had a pile. He's got to be one of the best, biggest shed hunters in the state. He has to be. The stuff he was picking up is unreal. And he said he was 8 miles short of 500 miles since March 1st.
And that's crazy.
I know. And he said, I haven't really missed a day. And blah, blah, blah. And I looked down. I just was having a hard time believing all that. But I looked at his boots, and I think he's telling the truth.
Yeah, I got a buddy that's like that. He has a landscaping business, and he doesn't have much work yet that early. And he can pretty much go every day. And he's crazy. Like me, I'll go hike 15 miles, and it's nice to have like a week to recover before I can go again, but he'll hike 15 miles and then he'll go out the next day and hike 15 miles and then he'll go out the next day and hike 15 miles.
What a
I'm like,
great opportunity.
Definitely gets the guy going and gets you in shape. So.
Yeah. Great opportunity to get in shape for sure.
Yeah. That's what I really like about it. Last year I lost 20 pounds and this year I lost 15 just shed hunting.
Huh. I've got, I don't know if you ever heard of it, the Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge. We've got that coming up here. It's in Denver. You guys got to check that out. The one year I was able to pull it off at the finals, I had worked my tail off and I had started way sooner than now, but I'm headed down there again in end of July, and I've just been shooting a little. I am soft. And
yeah,
I didn't hike a ton because I just bought a house and just moving into a house and all this stuff, so it's I'm way behind, so it's just not good. But
right, well, it's always a opportunity nonetheless to push yourself a little bit, I guess. Right.
Yeah. Yep. It was this weekend is go time. Shot a little today and got to mess around with a new tape on my bow, and it's go time for morning time at say like 5:30.
Let's go. Yeah, buddy. But, yep, I gotta get my new bow set up still. I got a new sight and rest and everything, and I've been putting it off because I've been shed hunting so much, but time to stop putting it off now and get her done.
Yeah. So there's, so with your shed hunting, kind of with those styles of people you see, people that are heavy glassers, people that are just put in miles, and I'm going to say that's probably what you are mainly, because 200 some miles, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And then there's people that don't have a clue what they're doing. They're just out wandering. But what works for you?
I do a lot of glassing, but I'm not the guy that's going to sit in one spot and glass for 30 minutes. So I'm kind of like, hike, you hit a really nasty looking good south slope or anything that just looks good, I'll stop, sit down, maybe 10 minutes, pick it apart the best I can in 10 minutes and keep moving. I seem to find a fair amount of them glassing, but more of them wandering and putting the miles on and just kind of strategically in my brain. We always call it the strategic wander. But
yeah,
just like hopping south slope to south slope. This year I hit more north slopes than I normally would just because there wasn't as much snow that time of year. And I just found elk sign and just targeted the elk sign, or just basically put miles on until I got into elk sign. I do a lot more glassing once I feel like I'm in the place I should be. But until I find that place, I just kind of like to wander, and sometimes you'll stumble across one and hit a pocket of sign, then I'll sit down for 30 minutes and pick apart a huge south slope or huge side hill or meadow or whatever the case. And so I kind of do a little of both, I would say, but
yeah,
good optics are definitely a big helper, just because I think that glassing is kind of underrated, because you might have 150 yards away, you just walk right by if you don't stop and take a look. But
that's true. That is so true. And in the hills, like the 10 by 50s don't work. I need something smaller for the hills, but then there's other spots that I do need my higher powers for.
Yep.
And yeah, I am so bad at that, and I work on it every year. Just and it's a lot of stop and then look around. If I can get myself to sit down, I don't do that very often. I got to get myself to sit down. It's so hard.
That's
so
what I do. And I like to, I didn't do it a lot this year, but most years I'll bring a tripod too. And like, if you put your binos on a tripod, it's just crazy how much difference it makes on picking up stuff.
Yeah.
And my favorite time by far to shed hunt, that a lot of people may or may not know, is rainy days. If you get a rainy day, they just glow. They pop. Like the one day that I could hardly lift my pack and get it back to the truck this year, it was a real rainy, nasty day. Just put the rain gear on and went. They make rainy days make for good hiking days from a temperature standpoint, and keeping your body heat down. And it was awesome. I mean, I'm walking in bare iron sheds from across the canyon at like 200 yards. They just, and if they're laying in the right spot, they just glow on rainy days. It's hard to explain, but overcast is good too. But something about that rain just makes them shine, and they're just a different color when they're fresh than anything else.
Yeah.
And the ivory tips, it just makes them pop. I pray for rain when I'm going shed hunting. It's kind of funny.
I've heard that, but I've always thought it was kind of one of those geographical things of where different areas it's going to be, where that works, farm ground, whitetails or whatever. So it's interesting to hear just regular old mountain country, hills country, whatever we want to call it, and this style, because we got a lot of listeners that are not South Dakota. We're Western states mainly, that are going to be looking. So during that rain, it's a good tip to.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. I mean, if the forecast, if I had 3 days of shed hunt and it was going to be sunny 4 and rain 3, I'd pull mess, and sometimes not as comfortable. It just seems like I've always had a lot better success in the rain. So
yeah. So the draw results just came out for elk, and the I don't want to name call, but people are complaining and whining on the entitled hunters are complaining and whining on Facebook and social media about, you never draw a tag, we're never going to draw a tag, blah, 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 all this whining and moaning and about not ever drawing. And
oh yeah,
and across the West, results are coming out with the same thing. So yes, there's South Dakota just came out with it, but across the West, we've got all the elk draws and deer draws coming out. And one thing I'm really struggling with, and we talked about this before we hit record, those is just that entitlement that just because there are elk in this state. And there's elk in Kentucky and in Pennsylvania and Minnesota, yes, Wisconsin, all over the East. Just because there's elk there, you're not entitled to a tag at all. I mean,
absolutely.
If you put in the work and as in the dollars and the years to apply, and it's not much for money, actually, if you're a resident in most of those states, yep. If you put in that time, you will eventually draw. If you are wanting to get an elk tag every year, you need to go to one of the states that has elk in it that are in the 200,000s or 150,000 elk, not under 20,000 elk. What, I don't even know how many we have. 10?
I think it's actually 50? Estimated to be between like 5,000 and 7,000 is all in the Black Hills. So,
oh, geez, I was trying to find that. I wanted to find that stat the other day.
Yeah, and I haven't looked for a couple of years, but that's what it was, I know. Because that one year that they had the aerial picture of the big winter herd, they were saying that they figured a lot of them were Wyoming elk as well, but that they had figured that there was almost 40% of the entire elk herd in the Black Hills was in that big winter group, because there was like over 2,500 elk in that one group. So,
oh wow, that's cool.
Pretty wild. But a lot of people just, you know, I have a little biology background because that's what I went to school for and graduated college with a degree in wildlife fisheries management. And like just the people that just don't understand simple biology and conservation in general, right, are the ones that feel like they're entitled to a tag more than anything. But I look at it a little different. It's a great opportunity when you do draw your tag in South Dakota. It's kind of a once in a lifetime deal. You might get two if you're lucky. But you just throw your 10 bucks in the hat and wait for your turn. I mean, it'll come someday. Yeah. And there's some tags that it won't come. Custer State Park, Bighorn Sheep, Mountain Goat, all those. Those are most people never going to see that tag. But somebody's got to get it, throw your name in the hat, and maybe someday you'll get lucky.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I saw someone comment, someone did draw, and somebody was harassing them about, you've been putting in for 13, 14, 15, whatever, 18 years. I don't know what it is. And now you're doing your research and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah. You can get out and do some work. Like while you're shed hunting, while you're turkey hunting, mark the heavy rubbed areas, the heavy signed areas. You find those little spots. But I'm not going to scout for a, like, go hardcore scouting for a tag I'm going to get 15 years down the road, because everything's going to change.
Exactly.
And you're going to do what you can. But I mean, when people draw these tags, well, it's time to help them out. All right, you drew that tag. Now let's try and figure this out. There's not much for secrets.
Exactly.
There shouldn't be much for secrets in these kind of things. So it just drives me nuts, the entitlement that I see. So
it's like there's certain people, I even know a couple former coworkers and stuff that have over 20 years preference, and I'm always hoping they draw their tag, you know, and they haven't the last few years, and I'm like, oh, maybe this year, you know, and I'm like positive about it, but they don't know, and they're like, I got 23 years of And that there's guys drawn with nine. I'm like, well, that's the thing about a lottery. It could have been you with nine. Right. You just don't know. So,
and that's the kind of the great thing about not a true preference point system. Having a true right. preference point system, you have to. If you and I wanted to, we would never hunt the Arizona Strip. I mean, I'm not putting in for that, and I don't have enough life to put in for it. There's no, mm-hmm. I will never draw it. No possible way, because it's true preference point versus Absolutely. Here and some other states where it's like a cubed system like what we have. Yep. You just have better odds as you go get higher. So it actually creates an opportunity where somebody with 5, 6, 7 actually does it, but the average is 17.
Exactly.
And it gives you a little hope.
Yep. I like how New Mexico does it myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just put in. It's like winning a gun in a drawing at a banquet when everybody's name goes in the hat one time. Yep. There's just a few more entries.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And one thing, if anybody's looking at South Dakota to come hunt, if you look at how we allocate our tags, we do give landowners 50% of the tags. That, and people do complain about that, but if you look at the stats, it rarely happens. And there's
yep.
it's not, they're not getting all those tags. If they don't take them all, then gets bumped down to the next or the public in the regular draw. So
exactly. And being, I mean, so I've had a few non-residents reach out, like, I want to come hunt elk, and South Dakota being a resident only draw, it's, we don't have the elk population to sustain more. I mean, if it takes a resident 20 years, it'd take a non-resident 40. So at that point, it doesn't make sense to even have a non-resident season.
Right.
And I think that's one thing, like, some people were hating on, like, oh, we let you come on our state. Well, you have 150,000 elk in your state, and we have 5 to 6, 7,000 in ours. So
yeah,
that's a big thing. And there's huge non-resident deer hunting opportunities, turkey hunting opportunities in South Dakota. So.
Yeah,
everybody can still come hunt here. It's just elk is just the one thing that we don't have enough of them to bring people in, I guess you could say. But
yeah,
I wish we did, but it's probably not going to happen. We don't have a big enough mountain range to support that many of them.
Right. And I don't want to say too much agriculture, but we have agriculture out in the prairie that
yep.
wouldn't allow for that.
So, exactly.
So I don't want to say too much. Too much just sounds like I'm hating on
them. right. No, I totally understand.
It's not the habitat for them.
Exactly.
Because we do have states nearby that do allow some more elk opportunities. I don't know if you head over that way at all, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, but what's your fall plans look like?
Yeah, so this year, a little bit different than most, just because we recently started doing a little guiding and outfitting stuff. So we kind of have a busy fall planned, and we'll be elk hunting and mountain goat hunting and who knows what else. But for now, I know we have a mountain goat hunt booked. We have a elk hunt booked. We have a few different hunts in the hopper. But we didn't plan as much stuff just because we're kind of trying to get this whole deal rolling. But normally our plan is, if nobody draws an elk tag, we're just going to go hop in an over-the-counter unit in Colorado and just hit it. But Austin did draw his Wyoming tag this year, so Austin will be out in Wyoming hunting in grizzly country. And he shot one pretty good bull here a few years ago when he last time he had his Wyoming tag. So that'll be pretty neat. I don't know if I'm going to make it out there with him or not, but he'll be out there. And Jeremy and I drew our Kansas archery deer tag. So we're going to Kansas in November. Outside of that, we're just going to see what other tags fall into place, do a little archery hunting here at home, and hopefully pull a couple gun tags, and it should be a really fun fall. And most importantly to us, we're just going to be hunting a lot, and whether I hold a tag or not, that's what it's all about. So
yeah, I absolutely love mixing up the styles of my hunts, and being back in the area again, it's kind of a challenge to like, okay, what's my style? Or like, what do I want to do? I got so many options, and I want to go learn stuff. One of my favorite hunts is a new hunt of some area I've never been, and messing around with prairie muleys or that.
I'm a big fan of setting like a archery goal every year. So like one year, maybe it's, I want to shoot a whitetail with my bow in the Black Hills. And you just focus on it and you make it happen. And then the next year, maybe it's, I want to do a spot and stalk mule deer hunt on the prairie with a recurve, you know, like just set like a goal and stay true to it instead of hopping around. And you kind of hurt your odds by like hunting all these different areas instead of staying true to one thing.
It's like bringing a bow. Goal. It's like bringing a bow along on a hunt you can have a rifle or a bow on.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, if your goal is to shoot a mule deer with a recurve at close range, spot and stalk, every time you can go and you got a windy day, you go, you know, you just go do that instead of like, today I'm gonna go hop in the tree stand or whatever, you know. And I just kind of enjoy like setting a goal and then trying to accomplish that goal each year. And each year you can kind of change it, and it just kind of makes it unique, and almost like, even though it's the same tag, it's almost like a different tag, because one year maybe you want to focus on shooting a quote unquote mountain whitetail in the Black Hills, or the next year you want to go shoot a big mule deer, or maybe the next year you want to go head east or head out and shoot a bigger whitetail out on the prairie or out East River. And it's just kind of a neat thing, at least in South Dakota, and every state's a little different, but the way that it works here, I've always kind of enjoyed just setting kind of a season goal and staying somewhat true to it.
That's a good way to look at it, because there's most people are getting the same tag every year, and that's a good way to mix it up and try and set a new goal. It's with the same tag. Versus in the three states west of us, where you've got a different hunt in every unit around you, and you're really playing that preference points game. Here, we're not playing a preference points game with our archery tag. It's
exactly
you're getting exactly. It. So what are you going to do different with it each year? You don't want to just always go to the same spot in the hills and stick a small hills deer,
right?
Call exactly. It good. That, I mean, that'd be fun, but to a point, you're not learning as much as you could.
Absolutely. And that's the reason I've mentioned the recurve or traditional spot and stalk mule deer, is that's kind of a bucket list thing of mine. I've shot a couple mule deer inside of like 5 yards on super windy days, getting right in on them on cut banks. And I just thought every time when I was that close, I'm like, it would probably actually help me to have a recurve right now. Or a longbow, and I just always have thought that would be one of the cooler things to do. So that's kind of my new goal, and that's why I brought it up. But I don't know if this year I'm going to have a whole lot of time to make it happen, but I'm sure going to try. So
I'm probably a year or two behind you there. I got my recurve just showed up not too long ago, and doing my research through interviews and chatting with some different people on how the heck I shoot this thing. So
yep. Yeah, and I grew up shooting one, and I haven't shot one since then. So
yeah, I mean, me too.
I did a lot of bow fishing, like looking down the arrow, and I'm still pretty confident out to like, you know, 20 yards or so. And that's all I plan on doing anyhow, is trying to get that close anyhow. And you know, don't get me wrong, if it's not a windy day, I'm not gonna waste my time. I'll probably still take my compound and just decide which bow to take based on the conditions. But
yeah,
you get a real windy day and it's pretty fun to get in tight to those big mule deer bucks.
That's cool. So what projects, things does Buckstorm have coming up here? And kind of, I think we've only really mentioned the guiding stuff a little bit off there, but
yeah,
what do you guys got going on in conclusion? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We this year with the guiding deal, it's going to be a little different, but one thing we're kind of planning on doing is videoing all these guided hunts, as long as our clients are okay with it, to produce a little hunt of their own. And we'll probably be posting a fair amount of those on our YouTube channel, along with a private place that we have as well that we're outfitting on, some archery deer hunters and so on and so forth. Kansas trip, we're going to take our bunkhouse down there and hang out for a week down at my buddy's place. I've been down there a few times. Big buck country in Kansas. And it's funny, you go, a lot of people are like, why would you go to Kansas to shoot a whitetail? Well, if you haven't been there, you just don't get it. But once you go there and you see your first 190, it just kind of makes you want to go back. So,
yeah.
But just kind of, we have a couple elk hunts planned. Just kind of do our thing. We just kind of make what we can work. We usually try to sneak out archery antelope hunting. Sometimes, even if it's just a day trip, Jeremy and I actually work at our full-time jobs together, and we have the same day off, and that's how we kind of make this whole thing spin.
Oh, nice.
And so we do a lot of hunting on, like, Tuesdays, just day trips even, mostly just archery deer and sometimes during rifle season, whatnot. But that's kind of what's in the hopper. We got some summer projects that we're going to work on, and just, you know, some instructional type videos. We released a scouting video here not too long ago, and just what summer preparation, anything that can kind of help somebody just get through this, what we call the off season blues time. And, there's always something to be doing. And if you can't think of anything to do, just pick up your bow and go shoot it, I guess. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, it's 9:30 and well, no, it's Friday. It's Friday. I don't have to work tomorrow.
I do.
You do. So I will let you go so you can go get some sleep and go to work tomorrow. So I appreciate your time and we'll shout out again where people can follow you, see your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It's been fun. And you can check us out on YouTube. If you just search Buckstorm, our channel is called Buckstorm. We're on Facebook and Instagram as well. And we kind of cross-post everything, and we release a video every single week. So if you're big into watching hunting on YouTube, maybe learning a little, just keeping it simple and check our stuff out to see what you think at least. And it's we're real open to answering questions. We reply to every message as prompt as we possibly can that we get. So if somebody's wanting to come to South Dakota hunting, we always tell them what, point them in the right direction on getting their tag and just general vicinity on where they should focus their scouting efforts and e-scouting. And that's the gist of it. But hope you guys enjoyed. If you check it out, it's kind of just our passion, and we've always chased it, and we're going to do it no matter what. So turned it into a little side business, if you can call it that anyhow. But my wife, knowing how much money I put into it, probably doesn't really think it would qualify as a business. But
that's another story for another day.
absolutely. But thanks again for having me on, man. And look forward to maybe doing it again here in the future. So
yeah, you bet. All right, well, thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Got a deed to the land, but it ain't my ground. This is God's country.